Expounded Universe, Season 15, Episode 5, Sneaky Preve. The book, Supernatural Witches Canyon by Jeff Marriott. The year? 2006 or something. Chapters 16 through 19. With your hosts, Jeff and John. Here we go! Wait, that's not right. Let's go!
Everybody, welcome back to Expounded Universe, the supernatural fan novel, official expanded novel podcast. I'm Jeff. Podcast.
You get on down there, podcast.
I guarantee. Yeah, it's our new New Orleans style podcast.
Yeah, we got a good mix of spices in there. Mm-hmm. It's down home cooking.
We worked in so much Zydeco.
We went to Popeyes, we got their podcast and biscuits.
How mad are people from New Orleans right now where they were like, yeah, we did New Orleans-style podcasting. We went to Popeyes Chicken.
I mean, the same people who are like, I got some great Mexican food. I went to Taco Bell.
Even at least Taco Bell doesn't say they're Mexican. They say they are Mexican-inspired recipes.
I'm inspired by Mexico to make a chunky chicken chalupa.
Nothing inspires me like the proud people of Mexico to take a breaded fried chicken fillet and bend it into a taco shell.
We tried this with a waffle. Now let's do it with chicken.
We'll call it the naked taco. As the Mexicans would, had they the means.
If only they had English, God's language.
Yeah, but I do believe that Popeyes actually says they're like the New Orleans chicken restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're probably, I mean, they're not. I've never been to New Orleans, but Lord knows I would love
You've
to go.
You've never been to New Orleans?
I've never been anywhere.
Go. Oh, man. We should go. You dig it the most, baby.
I know I would. It's my kind of town. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
It's food and music, and that's all I give a shit about.
Food and music? Some titties, maybe?
I mean, that's only if I go at that one particular time of year. And you know me, I celebrate the 4th of July on the 5th to avoid crowds. I'm not gonna just wander around New Orleans being like, yeah, I know it's not Fat Tuesday, but I got these beads.
Anybody?
Any takers?
I mean, you never know. You just walk down the street and be like, hey, I know it's like the middle of September, it's fine. Anybody want these beads?
So many people would be like, yeah, I do want those beads, but I don't want to exchange for them. I'll be like, ah, well, I'm so nice.
Well, here's a bead.
Let me pop one off the necklace for you.
That's a freebie if you want the rest it costs.
But yeah, no, I think I would have, I just haven't been there. I haven't been anywhere interesting, really.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Lazy, crappy person.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, on today's episode,
you're going to get a sneaky preve.
Okay, I guess we got to explain that because it's got nothing to do with the fucking book.
No, it doesn't. Of course not.
We were, before the beginning of the episode, we were running down the people that in the new Black Widow movie that Taskmaster visibly copies.
Yes, all of the fighting styles.
Yeah, because the movie does a smart thing and not, it doesn't copy Marvel Capcom 3 and have Taskmaster say,
just like Cap.
Sword of the Black Knight.
Sword of the Black Knight. Maybe.
Kind of a little bit. Honestly, you never hear Taskmaster say that one in the game because it only happens if you do like a level 3 reacting super. You never see it. But I think he goes, I've got you now, Sword of the Black Knight. And you're like, okay, that's a little much. And just, oh wait, Aim of Hawkeye. That's the spammable projectile, so he says it all the fucking time.
Yeah.
But in the movie, thankfully, and I assume because they had to preserve the twist.
Yeah, we won't let you know what the twist is.
Yeah. Is it late enough to spoil Black Widow, do you think?
Nah.
Okay, well, the twist is that they can't talk for reasons that have to do with why I'm not gendering them. But it is kind of fun to watch all the fighting styles and be like, oh, that's clearly Cap's, well, Cap's obvious and Hawkeye's obvious.
But there's some Bucky stuff in there,
mm-hmm,
for the way that
the knife
do,
fighting,
like, knife stuff.
Yep, they do Bucky's knife stuff. They do Panther's claws.
They do Panther's hand stuff.
Spider-Man's 2-foot jump kick, which I thought was hilarious. Yeah,
Spider-Man's foot stuff, mm-hmm. Panther's hand stuff.
Tony's mouth stuff, that's weird.
Ew.
What, none? I assume that Tony functions on the same rules as like DJ Khaled.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm too important for this. Pepper, get in here. I need you to service this woman.
I am this woman.
All right, well, you know, bend real good then.
Have at.
I just would like to see that happen in the movie where Tony is having one of his random dalliances and he's like, Pepper, get in here and service. She's like, you know, I already didn't like you doing this in the first place.
Yeah, but I also know you'll do it anyway because I'm the worst.
And because you want us to appear professional and professional people go down, right, Pepper? So come on. Chop, chop. Get in there. Find that little man in the boat professionally and thoroughly.
Very businesslike. Anyway.
Anyway. I don't know where it was. Anyway. Black Knight. I was saying that Taskmaster uses a sword in the movie, which doesn't really currently match up to almost anyone that that they possibly could have met in Marvel. The sword people are what? Gamora and Ronan a few years later after this.
Yes.
So I say it's a sneaky preview of Black Knight who's going to be in the Eternals movie.
Yeah, I don't. I think they just wanted to give him a sword.
Just put a sword in there because Taskmaster usually has a sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
normally you have Taskmaster with sword and shield, so you kind of have to.
But the reason that Taskmaster usually has a sword is,
you know, because it's cool.
Because of the Black Knight.
Because all of those sword guys.
The Black Knight. It's not like he's copying Swordsman or whoever hates Hawkeye right now. I don't.
Swordsman.
That's one of the guys who hates Hawkeye. That's a Hawkeye villain from his stupid circus.
From his dumb circus days.
Dumb, stupid, ugly, crap circus he was a part of.
Back when he was a villain?
Yes, when he was a temporary erstwhile villain. Mm. Mm-hmm. And then he got away from the evil circus. And then occasionally now he like fights an evil circus. And you're like, this is dumb.
Sometimes the evil circus is in town.
Why does he get his own stories? This sucks. If it's not the Hawk guy stuff, I don't want to read about it.
This is, God, we've
off the rails? Oh, no.
Super not about this book.
Oh, no. These four boring chapters.
I got to tell you, I really like Hawkeye when they make him Bullseye.
Oh, have they've done the power where he just has ultra aim?
I think, I know they've done it a bit in normal continuity, and I know in the Ultimate Universe, that was basically his thing. Like, a bunch of armed people attacked him, and he was like, you attacked me in my kitchen, you're fucking done.
Right. And I've seen, you know, they do it all the time. I mean, even in the MCU, they have jokes about that, where he's like, I took up golf, and I went 18 rounds and shot 18.
Yeah.
So we know that he's got that super accuracy even there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that too. I mean, I have read, the only Hawkeye shit I've read that's Hawkeye forward is the Remender Hawk guy stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting, but I don't even know if it's Hawkeye that's interesting in it so much as it's like the art style and the layout structure and all that made that really fun to read.
See, again, I think stuff like that and a few of the good Ultimate ones is, I like Hawkeye when he's just walking around as a dude, mm-hmm. and then has to get into scrapes.
Yeah, that's great. He's perfect in that vein of a hero who gets beat up because he's just some dude.
Yeah. As soon as you put him in a little purple outfit and he starts running around with the Avengers, I'm like, you're boring.
Yeah.
But when he's like, I'm in a t-shirt and jeans and then shit went down, you're like, this is great.
Also, every time he yells, aim of Hawkeye, you're like, come on, man.
Yeah, we know.
Just like Taskmaster. Do you think that would bother Taskmaster if you did that around him?
Aim of Taskmaster!
Just like me, says Cap. Taskmaster's like, come on, man.
My sword!
Sword of this guy! Sword of Dane Whitman! Oh, shit, was my identity secret? I actually don't know.
Ooh, nobody cares.
I genuinely don't know if Dane Whitman is a secret identity. Who gives a fuck about the Black Knight?
I was reading some stuff on the Marvel Unlimited, and Black Knight randomly showed up in it, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing here?
I mean, he was a core Avenger for like 12 years.
I know!
It's funny how that era of Avengers is just, and by the, yeah, we will eventually talk about Supernatural. It's amusing to me how that one era of Avengers is just gone. No one's ever like, hey, remember that time when the Avengers was like Dr. Druid and Black Knight and fucking Crystal?
It's just all of the D-listers. They randomly had Beast on the team mm-hmm. instead of the X-Men having him.
There was like a Tigra or something was on that. It was just like, you know, who cares? Everyone got their own books and left.
Yeah, everyone else is like, oh, I've got stories to do. I guess the Avengers is just whoever isn't good enough to prop up their own book now.
I mean, that was the first story of the Avengers, yes, was like, oh, all of our, no one gives a shit about Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk and Thor. Let's just put them together and dump them in a corner. Oh, it worked.
Oh.
Shame it didn't work a second round where that made Black Knight famous forever while he was riding around in his dumb Volkswagen looking robot horse. Looks like it comes out of like a princess a Rainbow Bright cartoon. Yeah, up yours, Black Knight.
Yeah, that's right, Black Knight.
Yeah, finally that guy's getting called out. I'm glad someone finally said
come
it.
Come and get it.
Also casting Kit Harington, come on, that's just Jon Snow but in the MCU. Why did you do that? Think outside the box. And while we're at it, Mads Mikkelsen would make a terrible Doctor Doom.
Ah, it's true.
It really would. He only has that one accent. He's a flat mumble. I mean, I like him. He's a good actor. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a bad actor.
He just sucks at acting.
No, he's awesome. But he's a mumble mouth dude who's really slow and deliberate. And you need to see his fucking lips to know what he's talking about. And if he's got that mask on, he can't. The right cast for Doctor Doom? Rami Malek. I'm putting it out there right now. It's the correct casting. And I heard it from my brother gave me the idea, and he was absolutely right. Rami Malek, Doctor Doom.
Great.
Okay. What about you? Who would you put in Dr. Doom's suit?
Who would you put in the Doom mask?
In the Doom suit.
I mean, you want someone bombastic because you want someone that can make proclamations.
Oh, absolutely.
Is the big thing.
You want someone who can go, Richards! And
yeah, you need someone who can really sell, like, what is this to Doom?
Which is why you want yourself in the role, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. I want me in a big... Fat Doom suit.
Well, obviously, you're going to go work for Marvel.
Oh, yeah, they're going to give me a personal trainer, and yeah. A year later, I'm going to be ripped, and my abs will be all weird and
creepy and asymmetrical.
Yeah.
They'll be like, I look so good.
Guys.
Water. I'll kill you if you offer me another chicken breast.
Rice? You can have 5 grains.
It's very brown. All right, so the chapters are okay. Do you want to do them or do what?
Fine, let's get into the book.
It's not too late. We can also cover the X-Men.
It's not too late. We could cover everything in Marvel.
I'd like to hear your fan cast for Forge.
My fan cast for Forge. I don't know that I have a fan cast for Forge.
I don't know either. It's a tough one. Rami Malek.
Just the whole MCU now.
Yeah, I mean, we could just do like Orphan Black kind of thing and just have one or two people play every character.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
You could even have one of them be the woman from Orphan Black. That'd be fine. She's already in there. She's like She-Hulk or something.
No.
No, they confirmed it eventually. She is. They at first she was like, no, I'm not. And then it turned out that was like because they were still in negotiations.
That was a lie.
And no, she is currently She-Hulk. It is official. It has happened.
And Tatiana something or another?
Yeah, Tatiana Maslany. With Jamila Jamil as one of the villains.
I know.
Yeah, I'm excited
as
about that.
Titania, I think?
But it's not confirmed yet, but everyone says Titania, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's great shit.
Good. Great
I can't. Shit. I hope they really do duke it out. All right,
I hope
so,
they don't. I hope it's all procedural. No
well,
fights.
We've seen Jamila Jamil in fight training. That's like the way that she announced that she was in the thing. Was like,
yeah, I hope that just comes up as a video evidence thing.
Just,
I'd like to bring in evidence A, here and it's just a video of
her fight training. It's the video she posted to Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the way that people announce the roles nowadays, is they post the fight training. Like Oscar Isaac did that for Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the chapter opens with, I think it's Dean incredulously saying, An Indian? I don't think an Indian.
An engine? This gets worse and worse.
How is that worse? No, wait. Camera 2, push in on him.
Yeah. So now, I mean, the big thing for them is they're like, okay, we've got too many things that we could be looking for.
Yes.
And so now they're like, oh, well, maybe it's some kind of Native American shape-shifting animal shaman something.
Well, now you're just being racist. Well, no, it's old man Indian bear, you know, like from the stories or whatever.
You know, the Chippewa bear walkers or the Navajo Yinaldalushi, and the Hopi Yaya ceremony.
They have a that certainly is a lot of divine secrets they have.
Yes. skinwalkers, animal spirits, they're so commonplace.
It kind of makes me sad that obviously that's Sam saying that because he's rattling off college shit. Apparently he went to college specifically to study hunter stuff.
I mean, I assume it's just he knows it because...
What was his college major that he gave up on anyway?
Law. He was going to be a lawyer.
Oh, okay. So obviously as part of his law training, he was like, well, I need to learn all of the ancient Native American mythologies.
Well, I assume he already knew that.
Oh, okay.
Because Dean's like, oh, the only thing I study is how to murder things and how to find things.
The reason I was bringing it up at all is because we did not get a, all right, college boy response. Instead, Dean was prepared to be like sarcastic about something else instead.
No, he's just like, oh, man, I hate shapeshifters.
Yeah. Shapeshifters are the worst. Like, yeah. The points to you, bro. They are pretty bad. I don't like them either.
Yeah. I mean.
That said, if I had to choose a superpower, that would be my number one choice.
Ooh. It might be number two.
What would be your number one superhero or superpower choice?
Oh, it would be Professor X power.
Oh, just blanket ultra mind control?
Ultra mind powers.
Okay. I feel like Professor X is one of those characters where they've legacied his power into one power, but if you were to try and build him in any role-playing game, you'd have like 9.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's...
Pick one.
He's got telepathy and mind control and...
Ultra defenses and...
he's got...
Based on the MCU, we know he can... Or not MCU, the... X-Men cinematic universe. We know he can freeze people literally in place.
Well, yeah. Well, that's like, just controlling their minds.
That's really weird mind control where you like hold still and don't visibly move. Like literally stop breathing while we have this conversation. And then you'll be fine later, okay? That's mind control.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, just mind power?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it would mostly just be mind control and I'd just go around and stop wars and shit.
It's pretty great, yeah. Like on a practical basis, if I could just get mind control so I could...
I should be like, hey, Jeff Bezos, you know what you don't want anymore? Money. Fuck you, you asshole.
Hey, Matt Gaetz, get out in front of a microphone and actually say whether or not you give a shit about Britney Spears' conservatorship. No, I don't. I just want to be on the TV. Okay, thank you. That was good of you to admit that.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is it's very problematic, is the whole mind control thing of like, oh, you're taking away people's free will. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah, people don't really deserve it.
Only for a second and only to make sure things are okay.
Have you seen what people do with that shit?
Yeah. You know the only person who gets free will? The guy in charge. That's me in this scenario.
That's fine. I'll just take my shape-shifting so I can...
Shapeshift.
Concoct elaborate schemes.
Oh, I know.
That's all.
I know. You'll just have schemes. I don't need schemes with mind control. I can just be like, hey,
that's
why give me a dollar?
That's why I wouldn't pick it, to be honest with you, because it would make my schemes too easy. All my schemes would be like, I'll just mind control that guy into opening the vaults and giving me the money.
And if anybody asks me to stop, I'll be like, don't.
Yeah. No, I want a power that gives me enough power to do cool schemes, but also enough not power
that you have to actually do it.
I got to actually do stuff. Yeah. So it's perfect. As long as I'm... all my fantasy scenarios are heist based, and this doesn't change a thing. Even my sex dreams are all heist based. I gotta break into that vault. There's ladies in there and dudes.
I thought you were gonna be like, I gotta break into that vagina.
I'm gonna need 11 people. Nah, that would be pretty coercive-y. Well, we made it 10 words in. You want to talk about Marvel some more?
Oh, good Lord. Okay, yes. So the point is, with this, that they've basically decided, okay, we've got a bunch of different stuff to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're dealing with Native American shapeshifters?
Yeah, something like that.
Some kind of shaman?
Maybe there's an angry spirit or something, but it's maybe Native American. After all, someone spotted one. But if they are, it's probably that they are causing spirits of all type to show. I mean, even if they were dealing with Native American spirit, they already met the veteran of the Indian Wars.
Oh, yeah. They've already seen a cavalryman.
So we already know, and a bear. So we already know it can't just be some one Native dude. It's got to, if it is, he's using some wacky powers. Also, he's really long-lived.
Yeah. Well, that's shapeshifters for you.
Mm-hmm. That's your problem with shapeshifters. I think it's just a djinn. Having read my, done my bonus content now.
Having read two things off of the wiki.
Yeah, it's probably a djinn. And if it's not a djinn, it's the African dream root.
Yes.
Anyway, they're going to, he's grumpy because they have to start from scratch again.
Oh, yeah. But at this point, they're like, all right, well, we got to figure out something.
Yeah. Now, the reason they're talking about Indians at all is that they are, as a recap, they are driving back from Fat Doctor's house.
Yeah. Dr. Cannoli.
Cannoli. It's actually Punnoli, but yeah.
But I like calling him Dr. Cannoli because it's delicious.
I'm just calling him Fat Doctor because that's all the book wanted to do. The book was like, yeah, this dude's stomach came in the room, and then he came in the room. This dude was looking around. All his chairs would break if you sat down on him.
When he sits around the house, he really sits around the house.
I was like, okay, book, I get it. Jesus, what are you Don Rickles-ing this guy for? Let him live his life.
He heard that it was chilly outside, and he got a bowl.
He stepped outside in high heels and struck oil.
You know what I'm saying? He sat on the rainbow and made Skittles.
His blood type is Ragu.
What I'm saying is, this guy fat. Also, his teeth so yellow, he spit butter.
His teeth so yellow, when he opens his mouth, traffic slows down. The book was mean to this guy, and now it's got us doing it. But yeah, on their way back, they're like, so this guy saw an Indian shoot a person, and they're talking about how his story doesn't line up, because he has all these parts of the story where he's like, well, it was a long time ago, I don't remember, but I did remember exactly what music I liked and exactly what books I was reading.
Oh yeah, and Sam's like, I already knew about the Indian thing, because he literally didn't tell us anything that I hadn't already seen in a newspaper. I just wanted to go there to see if he would actually say anything else, so I know he's hiding something. There's something about it, because he's like, if you can remember every other little detail and you don't know what happened to the Indian after he shot someone with an arrow,
mm-hmm.
that's weird. You'd think he would say if, like, the dude vanished or turned into a bird or ran away.
Mm-hmm. Or he just cried because there was some litter nearby. Although that would reveal him to be an Italian man.
That would reveal him to be Italiano.
Anyway, they get back to their hotel room. We get a description of how the hotel room, even though it's an old hotel, uses key cards instead of keys.
Yes, indeed.
Gotta fit in these little details.
Little details make the whole thing.
Mm-hmm, you gotta know. And also, they gotta have something to say between rounds of Sam went to college. Dean did not go to college. Dean worked with his dad. His dad was a hard man. Sam went to college.
We don't really get a lot of that in these chapters, I'll say that.
These two chapters are a little less. There's still some of it there. There's a whole big section about how Dean is the one who's... Or Sam is the one who gets visibly angrier than Dean, even though Dean shows every other emotion more strongly, but not anger.
That's the other way around.
Oh, I'm sorry. Strike it and reverse it.
Yeah.
You know I'm not going to remember that. I had to point to the two characters on the cover of the book during reading it and be like, which one's College Boy? The one who looks like he shouldn't be College Boy? Right? Okay, good.
Which one's Sammy? Which one's Deany?
Deanster and Sambo.
Ooh, don't do that.
Sambo. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say Samba, the dance style.
There you go.
Okay, is that better?
Sure.
Okay. Samwise.
Yes.
All right, there we have it.
But anyway, they get back to the hotel, and it is time for sleeps.
No,
but
it's time
not for long.
It's time for Dean to clean a gun for a long time, while going over how he learned gun cleaning from his dad, who wouldn't let him work with any crappy equipment.
Yes, but I was going to skip over that, because it doesn't matter.
Lots of this book doesn't matter. We got to cover some of it, or else we're going to spend here talking about the Avengers.
Oh, well, let's get through this as quick as possible, so we can go back to talking about the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, they go to sleep, but not for long.
So, about 2:11 in the morning, there's a little quiet knock on the door, and...
It's a cop knock.
No, it's not a cop knock.
Except they specifically say it's a cop knock.
No, they specifically say not like a cop would
that's
knock.
Right. The opposite of a cop knock.
Yes, a cop would knock with force mm-hmm. and vigor. This is just a little timid knock.
Mm-hmm. Cop would knock with vigor. Tootle vigorously. But no, it's a timid knock, and so they go to see who it is.
Or yes.
Sam does?
Sam gets up, and yeah. Dean just gets the gun he was cleaning out and is like, I got your back, man.
Yeah.
I assume if you open the door and someone tries to murder you, I will shoot you in the back because I can't see through you.
Yeah. Can't see to the real you. Sam opens the door, and it's Heather, Fat Doctor's daughter.
Yeah, Fat Doctor's hot daughter.
Uh-huh. She's hot. So hot.
Yeah, and Dean was like, ooh, that Heather, she's into you.
Mm-hmm.
She wants your hot body.
I mean, he does. He's clearly the hotter of the two of them. Yeah, it's pretty clear, especially, and I'm trying to judge from the standards of, like, whenever this movie, this show was, like, 2007 or something like that. He's the hot one for 2007.
Nah.
He's the hot model.
Nah.
Yeah. You can disagree with me if you want, but I'm looking at the both of them, because the book, the cover's just a shot of the two of them in front of a truck. He's the hot one.
Nah.
I mean, he looks like he's the hot one where, like, he's going to get, like, way too many tattoos in a few years and then start dating, like, a young singer. And you'll be like, how did that, why does this keep happening? Young singers just love to date dudes who are like 3 minutes away from being strung out in a hotel.
Love it.
That's their favorite. Anyway. Yes.
Heather shows up.
Yeah. Heather's all like, hi, my dad didn't tell you everything, so now I'm going to tell you everything.
And Sam's like, cool, come in. I'm in my boxers. And
oh, no, I just realized I have shame.
Oh, I should put pants on.
And as he hurriedly puts some pants on, it's pretty clear that she doesn't give a shit.
Oh, no. I mean, she's spending this entire time just kind of like furtively glancing around and not making eye contact.
Well, she doesn't want to be there. She snuck out of her dad's house to come do this. And the thing she snuck out to do is betray her dad.
Well, yeah, she's like very worried that this might get him in trouble or... Yeah. You know, maybe they won't believe her because she's about to say some real dumb shit.
Yeah. Now, granted, the story that she tells about her dad does not make him out to be a villain or anything like that. It just makes him out to be an idiot. It's still a little bit of betrayal, but basically she's like, here's the thing he didn't tell you. He didn't just live with a bunch of peace-loving hipniks or whatever.
Those hipniks.
He actually lived with just anybody who could live for cheap and liked easy sex from hippie girls.
Yeah, there were a few of those.
I was like, of course there were. Hippie communes always have a couple of creepy shit dudes. That's how you get Charles Manson's.
Yeah, you go to a commune and you get a bunch of people who's like, yay, I'm here to share and free love and peace. And then a couple guys were like, I heard that there were women here.
Yeah.
They're like, and that it is cheap to live here.
Did you hear that these people want, like, free love or whatever? I like that shit. I don't want it myself. Stay out of my fucking room. But obviously I'm here to score a bunch of time. You have some of those creeps.
Yeah. It's just like Burning Man.
He's exactly like Burning Man.
Aim of Burning Man.
Watch, we're going to get Burning Man comments now.
Yeah, fuck you. Burning Man sucks ass and you can eat a dick. I don't care. Come at me.
Ever since the time where someone showed me a magazine about Burning Man, where the cover story was a guy who had been wandering around Burning Man asking every woman he met if he could feel their breasts, and he presented it as an art project he had done, and I was like, oh, fuck this place forever. And she's like, no, it really is an art project he was doing. And I was like, man.
That's why it works, because of people like you. Also, all of the rich tech assholes who show up there in a fucking RV... Don't get out of there.
Oh, yeah, they build fences around themselves and just live on the outskirts and don't let anyone in.
And they're like, great, I'm going to sit here in my air-conditioned RV, not deal with you people until it's time for me to go out there and do some art,
yeah.
By which I mean do drugs, get drunk, have sex, and then go back to my air-conditioned RV.
Right.
Assholes. Fuck everyone.
Right, yeah. to get back to the point, one of his roommates was a shitty person who had a gun, so he went and got the gun and shot the Indian.
Yes.
Now, the Indian had already shot Jeanette or whatever her
basically,
name.
Basically, he shoots the Indian at the same time that he shoots
Marshmallow. Yes. And the Indian takes the bullet, falls over, and then does that fade in and out thing.
Yeah, he basically... seems like he dies from getting shot,
yeah.
And then does the ghost flicker and stands back up and then disappears.
At this point, he either walks away or vanishes, and the doctor really doesn't remember what happened.
Yeah.
At that, but he got super scared because he was like, oh, shit, I shot a ghost, the ghost got away, there's the girl with a hole in her, and here's me with a gun.
Oh, yeah, I shot a gun, and there is someone with a hole in their chest, because the arrow also disappeared when...
Ghost arrow.
Yeah, it's a ghost arrow.
Yeah.
So... He's like, oh, they're going to blame me for this. Which,
I'm like, are they? Ghosts, arrows, even if the arrow's not in her anymore, arrows and bullets leave very different wounds.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, if you shoot someone in the chest, that's going to be way different looking than someone getting shot with an arrow.
Also, they're going to find the bullet because presumably it went through the ghost and hit the grass behind him.
Well, I mean, also, they're going to not find a bullet in her because it also didn't go through. They'd be like, oh, well, she doesn't have an exit wound, so it'd have to still be in there. There isn't a bullet in there.
Yeah, so I dug out the bullet, hid it in the grass at a weird angle a few feet away, after thoroughly cleaning it of everything but ghost Indian blood, and then I got the got rid of the arrow that this is clearly that kind of wound. You'll never catch me, cops!
Ha-ha!
But yeah, his plan was just like, I'm just going to say I saw the murder happen and I did not participate in it.
Well, yeah, but for a hippie in the 60s, he's like, obviously they're going to try and put me away.
That's true. He's got a good point there. He'll be like, but I was just reading Daystar 81, the common sci-fi novel of our time. And they're like, come along, beatnik. Beatty.
Come on, you peacenik.
You're going to listen to lots of Strawberry Alarm Clock in the Slammer.
Until we send you off to fight in the war, and then it's fortunate son for you.
With a brief montage of the mamas and the papas after you die.
All these leaves, they're brown.
But the sky, it's gray. So, yeah, she basically is there to tell them the rest of the story. And then she's like, well, anyway, thanks for listening. I gotta go.
And, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, well, hold on a second. I'll go with you. And Dean's like, but why?
Well, murder time.
Because it's murder o'clock. I can't just send her out to be murdered. And Dean's like, fine. Yeah. I'll put some fucking pants on.
But you better walk away, lady, before I ruin you for other men.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. I've got delicious abs.
He's got them MCU jack abs.
Look, you could take a slide down these cum gutters, okay?
Man, do people ever hate it when you say that term.
I love saying that term because people hate it so much.
Anyway, they follow her home, and wouldn't you know it, while they're following her home, they're being followed.
Oh no, there's headlights in the rear view.
It's funny because the headlights pull off exactly one street turn before her house.
Yes.
And they're both just like, oh, good, never mind. Instead of either of them being like, that's even more suspicious, Dino.
Which not
is,
really.
I would have thought. They'd be like, aren't they supposed to be like paranoid hunter types? And it's like ghost night. You think they'd be like,
yeah,
ah.
But none of the ghosts are driving.
Yeah, they don't know.
They know.
They don't know that none of them are driving. First of all, several of them have to be driving because several of these people get killed in cars.
Look, first of all, none of them have been killed in cars yet.
Okay, fine. One of them is killed in a car in this set of chapters.
Actually, he doesn't even get killed in the car. He is out of the car.
He gets out and runs before he dies.
But also, this is before we get the episode where they actually encounter a ghost car, so until then, they don't believe in ghost cars.
Oh, so what you're saying is that for continuity purposes, this book is forbidden from introducing ghost cars.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the first episode they see a ghost car, they're like, what? It's a ghost truck? This is dumb.
Well, that just means they didn't believe in ghost trucks. They did believe in ghost cars. Totally different discipline.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I know which one's the hot one.
Sword of the Black Knight.
Sort of.
Yeah, he's the hot one, sort of.
Not even in his own movie. Ugh. That movie's got like Brian Tyree Henry and shit. Kit Harington is not the hot one.
But I'm with them. If you're in a very small town and they're just like, yeah, we took the one main road that exists to drive her home,
mm-hmm.
and someone is behind you for most of it and then turns off at one point, I'd be like, yeah, clearly. There's not exactly like you're in the middle of the city and someone's been following you forever. There's only one real street here.
I'm not with them. I think if you're in a ghost situation, you have to investigate every possible avenue of ghost situation. But they get her home safe.
They do. She gets out, goes home. They hang out for a bit just to make sure she actually gets in. But, you know.
Yeah, we've even changed chapters at this point. Because I think the first chapter just ended with Dean being like,
that
fine,
was
I'll
the leave, yeah.
Yeah.
But then we get a montage sequence after that of people in Cedar Wells dying.
Yes, we get four deaths in a row, which is interesting because it's very much a one of these things is not like the other scenario.
Well, yeah, we get the first three, I think,
yeah,
are all sort of the sympathetic killings where the ghost shows up and is like, all right, well, I got shot in the lungs. So I'm going to shoot this guy in the lungs. Is a cowboy.
Yeah, and the mom gets strangled.
And as she's dying, she looks up and sees like a pioneer woman who's got bruises on her neck.
And then the last one, probably the one that's worth the most talk. These two are just minor characters who get like one sentence of description. The third one is a dude working at a convenience store out on the edge of town, and he's kind of an asshole, so we get a little bit of his asshole perspective, where he's like, "Yeah, my favorite thing from working in this store late at night is that the only people who come in are drunks, and they come in to keep being drunk, so they buy more alcohol and they leave, and my favorite thing of all is when they forget to get gas, and then they show up 20 minutes later, still drunk, but carrying a gas can."
Yeah.
I gave him an accent. I hope you don't mind.
That's fine.
And then also, he is currently reading a gossip rag about Paris Hilton's latest shenanigan that would shame any normal person or something.
Yeah, would have humiliated anyone with common sense or a feeling of self-worth. Wow!
Yeah, out of nowhere. Just huge slam on Paris Hilton in this book.
I mean, it's 07. That's...
I know. It's prime Paris Hilton bad years. I feel like that's just like right before the hottie and the naughty. It's not... She was recently in the news again for being on, like, a Can Paris Hilton Cook? Let's Find Out show on Netflix.
Who gives a shit?
Paris Hilton does. She's still trying to... I don't know. I gotta be honest. I got nothing against her, but I don't understand why she's trying so hard to be famous. If I was that rich, I'd be like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do whatever I want, instead of being like, I'm definitely an actor. Keep putting me in things.
Well, you know, you gotta fill your time with something.
I would.
Plus, that makes you more money.
I would fill my time with all kinds of shit, but it wouldn't be...
Heists.
Heists. Heists. Who can pull off heists better than a person who doesn't need to? Because they're already rich.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is when you find out that, like, oh, this famous cat burglar is this wealthy art merchant. You're mm-hmm. like, yeah, of course he is.
Of course, exactly.
Because he's the indolent rich.
So many more heists. I would use my heisting powers to put money into people's bank accounts, and they wouldn't even know I did it. Heist.
I would steal their bank information.
And then give them money. Man. You son of a bitch. I'm into my own idea.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, so the first three people... Oh, and he gets killed by the cavalry guy again.
No, this is a different one.
Different cavalry guy.
Yeah, because it's another guy who is one of those cavalry soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy is missing the lower part of his jaw, and mm-hmm. instead of a saber, he has a spear that he throws at this dude to take off the lower part of his jaw.
Right. So, sorry. Different cavalryman, different murder style, also a French and Indian War veteran, apparently from the same side of the conflict.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other guy...
Not French and Indian War. That's crazy. That'd yes. be way earlier. Excuse me.
But the big thing here is all three of those get killed in the same way that the other person got killed. And we sort of see that as well with... The dude who was scalped, who was scalping people.
Uh-huh, and the dude with the with the sucking chest wound who kills people with an axe and tears their chest open.
Yep.
But now...
But we also, I mean, before that, I also want to say, we had the cavalry guy, and he didn't seem to have any particular chest wounds or anything, and he stabbed the other dude with his saber.
Yeah, we didn't get a super close look at him, though. I think he's probably got a sucking chest wound from a saber stab, and we'll find that out when we actually get close to him later in the book.
Though that would be weird, I'm going to say, because most of the other people look like they were killed by something from the other side of this war.
Because mm-hmm.
you're like, oh yeah, the cavalryman with the spear is like, that's a Native American spear, and he's just using it because that's what he was killed with.
Well, presumably the dude in the parking lot was just a chump who got his saber taken away from him, and then he got stabbed with it. Like a bitch.
Hey, I like a chump. Hey.
I mean, it could also just be that he got stabbed in the back by another cavalryman over a matter of $20 or some crazy thing. We're never going to know. Unless they're going to start reusing ghosts anytime here.
Oh, they will.
Yeah.
I mean, they use that cavalry dude twice.
Well, that's true. They do. Anyway, at this point, we get a falcon kills a dude in his garage.
Yeah, there's a guy who's like, oh, I love working out in my garage,
mm-hmm.
and even when it's wintertime, I still keep the garage door open, and I just have a space heater pointed at me, and I live far enough away from anyone that using power tools isn't going to wake anybody up or annoy them.
Yeah.
So then he hears something while he's underneath his car, and he's like, what is that, some kind of owl flying here? And it is a red-tailed hawk.
Yeah, so a hawk is flying around, and he's like, get out of here, damn hawk. And then the hawk flies at him and uses its beak to stab this dude's eye out and kill him.
Yep.
Now,
just uses his talons to rip into his neck.
Uh-huh.
Fucks his shit up.
So he just gets hawked real good. A hawk hawks him up.
Oh, he gets hawked.
Yeah. Now, the reason that I'm pointing
aim
out...
Aim of hawk.
Here's aim of some hawk. The reason we're pointing out that this is not like the other three kills, believe it or not, is not that it's an animal doing the killing compared to the three humans that did the previous kills. Rather, the animals who kill in this book clearly aren't doing it with any sense of ironic, sympathetic kill.
No.
They're not. The hawk's not missing an eye, although no. I would love it if the hawk had an eye patch.
I mean, we did get a little bit of when the bear killed the very first guy, when he was like, I'm going to go to the barn. Oh, wait. No, I got to run away. Like, he did smell of death, and there was a point where he kind of saw the bear being, like, fucked
up. Half-skeletal or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it had rotted, which it's still not the same thing as, like, it having a bear trap on one leg and a bullet hole in its ear or something.
Well, yeah.
Or if it just had its back was riddled with arrows. Those are, although the problem with that is if you do that, now you can introduce a bear that kills you with a bow and arrow.
Oh, exactly. I'm like, the animals, even if they got killed by someone, it's not like, oh yeah, this hawk got shot out of the sky, but it's not going to run around with a gun and shoot someone.
Translator's note, means aim of Hawkeye.
Just like Cap.
This bear is stupid and is misassociating shooting arrows at people with Captain America, who does not do that.
No, he meant his morals are just like Cap's.
But anyway, yeah, the animals are not conducting ironic punishment deaths.
No.
So now we've got a weird mystery on our hands. What's up with the two kinds of kills?
What's up with both animals and people?
Also, there's a third animal that we haven't even mentioned yet, and it seems to just wolf kill people. So we have the wolf, and it rips cows asunder and so
we've
on.
Got bear, wolf, and hawk so far.
Yeah, and the wolf is notably not ripped asunder.
No, not yet.
That'd be cooler, though, if it was. If it was like
that'd be pretty cool.
Bunch
if it
of
was.
Wolf chunks roaming around the woods, murdering cows.
Ah, yes. If only there were floaty wolf chunks.
Floaty wolf them. Chunks was my nickname in high school.
Really? Mine was Thumbcock. Woo! Callbacks to things that weren't on mic.
Best type of joke there is.
So we go over to Sheriff Beckett, who at this point, he's like, all right, we've just gotten a montage of a bunch of people dying. And he's like,
I saw that montage.
Well, he's had people call in like, hey, here's another four people that are dead. And he's like, all right, well, I fucked up.
I'm the Jaws mayor. Oh, shit.
I should have called for help beforehand instead of worrying about what it might do to the county's reputation and economic standing.
Oh, the mall. I was so concerned about the mall.
I didn't
want to. And its robot security guards.
That chopping mall.
Certainly they won't laser anyone to death and never chop anybody.
But yeah, he's like, well, I guess it's time to call in the DPS.
Mm-hmm,
we've
mm-hmm.
got enough tanks and healers.
Tanks and well, all obviously the townsfolk are currently tanking the damage. We need healers and DPS.
Yeah, and he's calling in the DPS.
I don't even know what DPS stands for. Department of Park Services?
Dr. Penis Sucker?
Probably that. Although, I don't know why he's not just calling him Fat Doctor like I do.
I have no idea. I know I wanted
There's a comma in there, by the way. It's Dr. Penis Sucker.
Sucker?
Wait, your name is Dr. Penis? Dr. Penis Sucker.
I want to look it up now. I'm going to do that while you start talking.
Sure. Okay, so he wants to call the DPS, some law organization, whatever. And even already his secretary's like, yeah, good luck with that. And he doesn't know why, but he picks up the phone and dials the number he has for DPS. He gets that you know, your call cannot be completed as dialed, please try again later tone.
The Department of Public Safety.
Ah, sure. Okay. Then he tries the phone number for a detective in the DPS he knows personally. Same thing. And every number he tries, including numbers that weren't for the DPS at all, same thing. The phones are out.
Yep.
The phones are out, but in a modern way where they just go like, your call could not be completed as dialed.
Well, it's specifically that...
Oh, that one tone.
It's specifically that they can't do long distance.
Oh,
because
okay.
They're still getting calls in from people dying.
Right.
They just can't call out. There's a bubble around the town of basically like, you can do local calls, but you can't get out.
Well, the ghosts are pretty cheap. That's what it is.
We didn't pay for long distance. What am I made of money? No, I'm made of ectoplasm.
You know what long distance cost in 1840?
A lot. Sending a telegram.
Anyway.
And it also is the same thing for their internet. They can't email anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing gets delivered. So there is something spooky happening. And honestly, the one that would fuck me up the most is he tries shortwave radio and that doesn't work either. And I'm like, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, the lines are down or we don't have internet connection. But to be like, radio waves don't work now would fuck me up.
I mean, ultimately, they're all the same in terms of spooky factor because it's not like the ghosts are going around cutting the lines. They just...
But for a human, you'd be like, I can understand lines being down and someone cutting phone lines.
Do you think he tried one of those GSM sat phones too and that was like, no.
Oh, they don't have that.
Of course he does. He's a park ranger in rural Arizona.
He's not a park ranger. He's a sheriff.
He's a sheriff in rural Arizona. He still has one.
No, he doesn't.
At least several people in town do because they already live outside the range of regular cell service anyway.
No, they have cell service in town. It's that...
people living
Juliet
on the outskirts.
Does
of,
not.
Yeah, and plus every other person we've mentioned who's like, oh, I live so far away that I don't have neighbors.
Yeah.
There's been like three of those so far.
Yeah, and they don't have that because they're just like, I'll just use my phone. The reason I live this far out isn't because I wanted to use a satellite phone instead of a cell phone.
I don't think they want to, but you have one in case of emergencies.
Fucking shit. You know what you have in case of emergency? A shotgun and gumption.
And I'm all out of gumption.
Sweet New Orleans gumption.
Do they have that at Popeyes?
Yeah, let's go to Popeyes, get some gumption.
So he's angry about this, and he pulls aside one of his deputies, a guy by the name of Trace, and he's like, listen here, Trace, it's an emergency. You need to get in one of our Chevy Silverados or whatever and drive like the, it's a Yukon, and drive like the wind, and you have to get to Flagstaff and warn them and bring me the DPS.
Yeah, basically, we need you to go as fast as you can out of town and get outside of this bubble of no communication so we can get a message out that shit is going down and we need help.
Anyway, this works perfectly. And let's move on to the next thing.
Anyway, this works perfectly. Mm-hmm. Book ends.
He brings in the cavalry. They fight the ghosts and we're done. And that all happens in the
real
cavalry epilogue.
Fight the ghost cavalry.
Then the rest, that all happens right there. There's even an epilogue. And then there's like 15 more chapters and it's just the brothers fucking. It's really surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have bought this book. We have the only two copies.
You should have bought it. You'll be looking for Witch's Canyon unabridged. And
all boy fucking, it says. Oops.
Oops. All brother fucking.
Oops, all brother fucking edition of Supernatural Witch's Canyon. Sell it to me.
Well, I have some good news for you.
Oops, the cops are after me.
If you go to AO3, you're going to go ahead and get a whole lot of it.
Yeah, it's fine, but I don't really want all that shit about dog dicks. Can I get like a regular brother fucking?
Yes, clearly.
Okay, good.
You only know about that because it's the weird shit. There is just so much normal brother fucking.
Obviously, so much normal brother fucking.
Just
no,
regular
and you're right.
Old
it's true. I only really do follow up on the weirder aspects of fanfic.
Yeah. Not everything is super hoolock or dog dicks.
Yeah, the only LOTR slash fic I like is when it's Shadowfax and Bill the Pony. They're so tender with each other. I don't know what everyone else is reading about.
Anyway.
What's up?
So Trace goes on his way and he's like, ah, sweet. I'm going to be a big old hero. And I've always wanted to be a cop. I love being a cop. If there's one thing that's great, it's copping.
That sheriff is the best and only lawman I've ever met.
I wanted to be a cop because of Sheriff Beckett. He's the best lawman ever. And I know because I've never left this town.
Anyway, he doesn't make it out of town. Da 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 da. Bugs.
He is driving and his car gets fucked up as he's going.
Yeah, first of all, the engine just starts breaking in general.
Yeah, it starts knocking a little bit, and he's like, all right, well, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'll just keep going, and hopefully I can, you know, get somewhere before this becomes an issue.
Yeah, if this car wants to stop me, it's going to have to knock a little harder.
And then it knocks a little harder, and so he pulls over.
References to the Cowboy Bebop movie for people.
Ooh.
It's a great fucking song.
But yes, the problem when he pulls over is then the bugs come.
Bugs. Every kind of bug comes.
Bugs Bunny comes.
Yeah, basically the Temple of Doom scene happens, and he's all covered in bugs. And
well, not yet. First, he has to try and drive away from it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We can play the whole scene out. Bugs show up in huge swarms, and he tries to drive through the bugs, but that doesn't work because bugs keep clogging up all the vents and shit.
Which is, I'm wondering, are these ghost bugs, or are these real bugs being summoned by something? Because they are smearing up his, like, windshield such that he can't see.
You'd think that they would eventually fade out, yeah, like all the other ghosts do. But again, I think there's a difference between the animals and the ghosts. I think the animals are being riled up by ghost business, and they're not themselves ghosts.
I think there's ghost animals.
You think it's both?
I think maybe these bugs and maybe that hawk know, but I think that bear was probably a ghost.
I feel like the wolf is probably a ghost, because it's like bigger and weirder looking than a regular wolf.
Maybe.
Yeah. But also the bear did disappear, and a raven was there.
Yeah.
But I think these bugs is bugs.
Oh, yeah.
Unless every one of them had a tragic death exactly 40 years ago.
All of them had a tragic death where 120 years ago they were splattered on, I don't know,
one of those 120-year-old cars.
Covered wagon.
Covered wagon going 80 miles an hour.
Hell yeah. Splattered.
I'm going to speed run the Oregon Trail. Fuck it.
Hell yeah. No stops. Let's go.
Cock the wagon. We're jumping the river. Fuck you.
Oh, them pilgrims better start flapping their arms.
Anyway, bugs get him. They come through the vents and start stinging at him, and he tries to use his hat to beat them off.
Yeah, he does.
And that doesn't work. Now they're just on his head. Eventually, he crashes the car into a rock, gets out, runs away. But the problem with that is that now all the ground-based bugs can get at him.
Yeah, before it was just all the flying ones, and now it's like, oh, you got spiders and tarantulas. And
those are both spiders.
I know. That's my favorite thing in that little description of the book. They're like, and out come the cockroaches and the ants and the spiders and the tarantulas. Hey, wait a minute.
And the rectangles and the squares and the rectangles.
The rhombuses.
All the quadrilaterals came out to play, and here I go listing them.
But
parallelograms.
Yeah. He gets scorpioned. He gets mosquitoed. He gets gnatted.
Anyway, at this point, he has 1 second to think, oh, it would have been nice to be a hero.
Would have been so nice if I could have been a hero. Instead, I am now dead.
Yep, the end of the book, except for all the brother fucking.
So next chapter, Dean held Sam with tenderness.
Rough tenderness.
A rough tenderness that only a brother who's been on the road can have.
Mm-hmm. They were exploring each other's stubble. It was stubbly.
They rubbed stubble. It seemed as if a spark would happen, just like the spark that had already happened between them.
Then they did 20 minutes of regulation butt stuff.
Time up, regulation butt stuff.
Morning, Sam.
No, this is when they get pulled over by the punk kid
who doesn't get a name. It's Heather's boyfriend, but we don't know that at the beginning.
No, someone takes their car and does the whole, like, pull ahead and then screech and turn and take up both lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to kind of, you know, fishtail and almost ram into this dumb idiot asshole.
And there's black ice on the road, so it does not go well for them. But they're fine. Obviously, this book's not allowed to damage the Impala.
I mean, you can damage the
Impala.
I know,
they replace it from time to time.
But the thing with this is, when they described it like, oh, there's some young person with a gun in the car, I was like, oh, is this going to be another hunter? Is that what he was doing? Like, oh, they found a new one, like the old man is a hunter and this guy's a hunter and there's a whole bunch of people trying to figure it out.
Had they introduced other hunters besides the family in the first season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Okay, great. Anyway, it's not a hunter. It's Heather's grumpy boyfriend who thinks that she went to their hotel room to get double teamed to get hooked on the brothers.
Yeah. This kid is like, oh yeah, I've followed Heather to here and watched her go into your hotel room, and I saw you were only in your underwear, So I thought she was cheating on me, but now I know it was with you guys.
Anyway, exactly the length of time it would take for her to tell one fairly short story later, you all left. So obviously you had the best sex of your lives. It must have been like 5 minutes.
I mean, I'm barely a college student, so clearly that is the best sex one could hope for.
Would you guys do it like 4 times in there? Jesus. Anyway, he thinks that they Eiffel Towered her, and he pulls a huge gun and levels it at them as they're stepping out of the car.
And, you know, they're just like, hey, buddy, you're a big dumb idiot.
We didn't do that. That's not what happened.
No. Also, why are you following around your girlfriend at like 2 in the morning, you absolute creep?
Yeah, and Dean's like, that's not a good way to establish trust in a relationship. And he's like, well, I can't tell her because then she'd know I didn't trust her.
Yeah.
She's going off to college and meeting guys, and they're probably more interesting than I am.
Well, they're definitely more interesting than you are and better looking.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of a shitty little dump of a human.
Hung, too. Have you seen college dicks? A lot of the guys at college drag on the floor for a couple inches, buddy. It's not going to go well for you.
It's like a pill bottle, that dick.
You ever seen one of those D-cell mag lights?
Like a fucking Coke can.
Just trying to make him feel bad.
And none of them look like you, you scrawny, pimply.
You think he's hooking up with us? Have you met the guy she knows at college? There's a reason his nickname is Fire Extinguisher. Now, what's your deal?
Anyway, what's going on with you, buddy?
But no, they don't try and rile him up. Instead, Sam tries to keep him busy while Dean tries to sneak up on him and get the gun.
Opposite, but yes.
Fine, that the opposite of that happens. The handsome one does everything.
Yeah, Dean is talking him down while Sam is trying to sneak around, and then Dean just calls out, hit the dirt, so mm-hmm. that, you know.
So that Sam drops to the ground.
And this idiot kid who has no idea how to use a gun just sort of fires wildly,
mm-hmm.
which gives Dean enough time to, you know, launch over the hood of the car and just tackle this kid.
Just takes the gun and shoves him up against the wall, and the kid's like, oh, God damn it, now what? You're not going to tell her I did this or my dad or anything, are you?
Oh, this is my dad's gun. Can I have the gun back?
That's great. Hold the gun back.
Dude, you just shot at these two guys that are clearly way better at things than you, and have you pressed up against, like, your car door, and they have your gun, and for you to be like, oh, my dad wants his gun back. I'm like, you're the shittiest.
I mean, we've really established that this kid is an absolute turd, so it's not outside the realm of believability that he would immediately do that. But Dean's just like, no, dipshit, you just shot at my brother. And Sam's like, no, you should let him have the gun. There's ghosts afoot.
You should let him have a gun. We know it won't do anything to mm-hmm. ghosts, but, you know, maybe he'll feel better for having
it. But what if there's also a murderer or something? You know, it could be two things.
What if there's a bear and the bear's not a ghost?
What if there's a bear and it's the bear who shoots bees at you?
Oh, no.
Bees of Hawkeye. What's up?
Great.
So anyway, they're like, look, kid, just get the fuck up back to your house and stay off the road. And keep. I left one bullet in the chamber for you, and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And he takes off, and we end with Sam being like, ha. Oh, Dean, you giving advice on relationships and trust,
mm-hmm.
you piece of shit.
Told you there was still a bunch of shit that was just hashing out the show crap where he's like, yeah, why would you give advice about relationships? You barely ever had a relationship yourself. Hey, I've dated. I'm trying to do their voices, obviously.
Hey, this is what you sound
this
like.
This is Dean, huh?
I'm a cartoon dog.
You gotta hide me from the cops.
Have some yogurt.
It's bone flavor yogurt.
You thought we weren't gonna do the callback this episode. Well, you were wrong.
I already did it earlier. But he's like, hey, I've had relationships. They've gone great. Yeah, for like a month or so. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. The life of a hunter.
Now I'm sad and I need a Dean snack.
That's my name for your dick, Sammy.
I wish it wasn't.
I wish you'd quit calling it that.
I've told you a bunch of times, his name is Charlotte. That's confusing. It shouldn't be. Grow up a little.
But yeah, I love that we end this on just some shitty teenager gets his shit pushed in and told to go home, and then Sam is like, ha, you suck at relationships, and that's the chapter.
And there's a whole thing where Dean's like, hey, we're great for short relationships. I'm good at dating someone for about 3 weeks.
I'm great at getting in there, getting business done, and getting out.
I'm going to do that to Heather now. I guarantee it.
I'll guarantee you.
Point a gun at me. I'm going to take her to Popeyes for the authentic New Orleans experience. And then there's a part at the very end where there's some awful joke about how they're great for date partners' life insurance premiums.
Oh, yeah, because hunters, of course, are very short-lived. You don't last long in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Only probably about 15 years.
15 seasons and then a spin-off about your dad. Which I read about recently.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a prequel.
Yeah. Well, it's a spin-off, but it is a prequel spin-off. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. And maybe there's at least two backdoor pilots buried in the various episodes as well.
Well, there's one about the girls.
Yeah, the something sisters.
Yeah.
I forget the word. But anyway, yeah, and I think there's another one about the heaven and hell stuff that they tried to get a backdoor pilot in there, and neither one of them worked.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Jody and her daughters and that whole thing maybe doing stuff, but honestly, it would just be, what's this? It's Supernatural, but now it's all ladies instead of dudes, and
so
that's it.
So it's Charmed?
No, because they aren't magic.
So it's Charmed, but they aren't magic?
That's the whole thing with Charmed. There's nothing else left there.
Well, if you take away the part where they're magic, it's a story about three women who are friends.
So it's like Friends.
Or they're sisters or something. So Charmed without magic is basically Powerpuff Girls without Professor X.
Professor X?
Sorry. Professor Utonium. Thank you for the reminder.
And Chemical X.
Chemical X. Which he used to create the perfect little girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, wait. That got into his mixture for the perfect little girls, and it turned them into the Powerpuff Girls instead.
Indeed.
That's right. Okay. I'm just now remembering the structure of the Powerpuff Girls origin story.
The opening of the episode.
The convoluted backstory to the Powerpuff Girls about how he combined sugar, spice,
and everything nice. And Chemical X.
Thus, the Powerpuff Girls were born. I mean, to be fair, the Powerpuff Girls are currently planned to be a CW series about three adult women who are friends.
Oh, I know.
So they are very close to Charmed.
Oh, have you read
the shit about that?
The shit about that show? Oh, my God.
I was actually kind of excited about the cast they had for it. They had, What's-Her-Face from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was going to be her next thing, Quake.
Mm-hmm.
They also had Dove Cameron, who you'd remember as the main character from the... when we did Movie Mastery of Disney's Descendants.
Uh-huh.
She was the main character in that. And I thought that was a great casting for grown-up Bubbles. I thought that was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
But then, yeah, they looked awful. The show looked awful. And they canceled it.
And all of the stuff in there was like, I can't believe you fucked Fuzzy Lumpkins or some shit.
Yeah, it was all that.
Oh, God.
And they pulled it. They didn't really cancel it, but they pulled it so they could retool it based on the fact that everything that had come out so far was bad.
Yeah.
Where they were like, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't have Mojo Jojo in it, but they have his hot human son.
Also, there's some bits about how they murdered some different things and fucked different ones, and you're like, oh, please, stop.
Yeah, just don't do that. I mean, it wasn't official, but all the fan theories that him was going to be in it as a transgendered bartender who listens to all of their problems, and I was like, oh, that is so dead on accurate that I don't want it to happen.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you real soon with yet more content. And if you can't wait that long, why not check out our Patreon?
That's right. You go over to patreon.com/systemmastery. You can support us at the $2 level. Mm-hmm. And that'll get you a bonus content for this show, Expounded Universe, where right now we're going to go over to the Hunter Wiki, find out about some Supernatural stuff, and then tell you about it, but we also have a giant backlog of dumb Star Wars nonsense as well.
Speaking of giant logs, have you seen the fellas at college?
They take huge dumps.
Huge dumps. Toilet cloggers. 45-degree angle for the seat.
It lifts them off the toilet while they are dumping.
How can you compete with that, you crappy little boy?
I bet your turds are soft like a rabbit.
Terry around the edges. You lack conviction.
You don't have a nice full-bodied poop.
You don't have the shits of a man like we do. Our dad drilled how to shit into us.
We have to use a knife to cut it up before we flush.
We have to wait until it mummifies in our own bodies.
Anyway.
$2.
$2 unlocks this. It unlocks all of the bonus content for System Mastery. And, of course, you can go up to the $5 level, mm-hmm. get you our monthly show Afterthought. It opens up TV Mastery. We just finished an amazing run on The Littlest Hobo. And
still available.
We are about to start in on some SNICK.
Yeah, if you're not a $5 listener right now, that's our next round of TV Mastery. We're going to do the opening lineup of SNICK.
Oh, it's so good.
I think it's the 1992 or 1994 opening lineup of SNICK, and I can't wait to talk about shit like Roundhouse and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And just go to town.
This is going to be super great.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, of course, have some special channels in the Discord for our patrons and a little extra for those who are at the $5 level as well.
We also have written 3 books you can go and purchase now.
Three of them.
One of them is only for pre-orders at the moment. It should be out this holiday season. It's a journaling guide. But we also have our joke book and our cocktail guide that have been written by our own human hands that you can buy off, like, Amazon. And, like, you can go to Amazon and buy shit with our name on it. It's weird.
It's very strange.
I'm even, we are technically neck deep in writing a 4th one right now.
So, yes, please join us, won't you? And if you can't support us financially, of course, you can always, in whatever app or thing you're using to listen to this right now, just go in, give us a 5-star rating, say, hey, these guys are great. Mm-hmm. I love listening to them.
Try to write the review without mentioning Critical Role. You'd be surprised how hard that is for people.
These guys are nothing like Critical Role.
I get, we have like 10 variant reviews on various sites that are just like, check out Critical Role. It is a good AP show. And I'm like, fuck you. They don't need the help.
Don't advertise for someone else on our review,
especially someone that's so bigger, much bigger than us, that they're just orders of magnitude.
I don't go on Yelp to a mom and pop store and be like, you should check out McDonald's, they're pretty good, they have some deals.
I listen to McDonald's obsessively. I'm ready to fight to the death to defend every stupid thing they do.
Oh, what, did they accidentally fuck someone up? Well, that's not their fault. I bet McDonald's feels very bad about that.
They're probably super sad.
You've probably made them sad just thinking about it.
Anyway, sorry for the derail. Please go leave us nice reviews. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you real soon with more content. Until such time as we do, I've been Elan Sleaze Boggiano.
And I've got a sneaky preve.